Let us pray. Lord, we pause this morning to recognize you. And Lord, we want to be a church that loves like Jesus. And we know that that includes children. So Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning and you would touch our heart as we try to learn better how to be like Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over the past couple months, it has been track season. And so for several months, there have been high school athletes and college athletes and professional athletes who have been running competitive races. And for those of you that like track, you know that some of the harder races in track are the distance races. And the reason is because in order to be good at a distance race, you can't just be quick or fast, but you have to have endurance. And in order to do really well at a distance race, a critical part of it is positioning. Making sure you're in a good position so that when you're ready to accelerate and pass other runners, that you're not blocked in by other runners. And so at the beginning part of the race, you have to put a lot of effort to make sure that you are in a good position. That you're in a place that when you're ready to really hit it hard, that you can pass runners and finish really well at the end of the race. And so at the beginning of the race, sometimes we find runners who are jostling for position, elbowing their way, trying to get a good position. In some cases, when they do that, they can actually knock someone off their stride, knock them off balance, and in some cases actually knock another runner down. I found a video online where there's an example of this. It's a cross-country race, which is a long-distance race, and some of you probably run cross-country before, where there's a whole list of runners, whole group of runners that are getting ready to start off, and as they start off, they're trying to jostle for position, and then I want you to watch what happens. Let's watch this video. So here they go. They're starting off on the race, and someone falls, a few others fall, and they end up having to start the race over because there is a huge pile of bodies there in the middle. And sometimes that happens in a race when you're trying to get positioning. When you're trying to get your place, you can knock somebody out of the way. But that's a small price, right, in a race because you want to get to the top. Now, I think this image of runners trying to jostle for position is a really good image to start as we look at Matthew chapter 18. As I mentioned earlier, what we're doing this summer is we're looking at stories in the Gospels where Jesus loved people so that we can learn better how to love one another. And this morning, the story is found in Matthew chapter 18. It's really not a story. It's more of a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. At this point, Jesus is in the latter part of his ministry. He's already been telling his disciples that soon he's going to be arrested, he is going to be tried, and then eventually he's going to be crucified. 3 days later, he'll rise again. He's also started teaching his disciples what it means to be a follower of his. He said in Matthew 16, for example, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus continues this teaching as he has this conversation with the disciples. And the way this conversation starts is that it says that the disciples come to him and ask him this question: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, I don't know exactly why the disciple asked this question. I'm not exactly sure what they are hoping to hear Jesus say. But the way I have this pictured in my mind is that you have 12 men who are all jostling for position in the race. But they want to be at the front. They want to be number two. And so they're willing to elbow their way to get their place at the front of the race. And they want to know Jesus' opinion. Jesus, who's really doing well? Who's really at the front of the race? Who's number two? Is it Peter? He's the loudmouth. Is it James and John, the brothers who are the sons of thunder? Is it Philip? Is it Matthew? Surely it's not Judas. Who really is the greatest? Now, we shouldn't fault the apostles for them asking this question. After all, it is human nature to want to be at the top, to want to be number one. That's why we run the race, so that we can win. That's why we study hard in school, so we can be at the top of the class. That's why we work hard at our job, so that we can be successful and achieve. It's just a part of human nature to want to be great and to want to be at the front. And that's what the apostles are wanting. They're just wanting to be at the front in this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing. And so they ask him his opinion, who's doing well, who's great? And what's fascinating is Jesus, the way he answers this question is he brings up a child and he puts the child in their midst. He performs a parable right before their eyes. He creates a live illustration by bringing a child. And he makes this statement. He says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He's telling his disciples, you're looking for a model of greatness. You're looking for how you can know to be great. Don't look to the kings if you're looking for that model. Don't look to the rich people. Don't look to the ones who are successful in business. Don't look to the rulers or the governors or the political leaders. If you're looking for a model of greatness, look to a child. Look to a child. And scholars have debated a little bit, why did Jesus say this? What was he trying to get the apostles to understand about children? Was he trying to draw their attention to the subjective qualities that a child has? It's possible. A child has wonderful qualities like being teachable and moldable. A child is creative. A child has complete dependence on their parents. And certainly those are really good qualities for a disciple of Jesus to have. But I think Jesus was trying to draw the apostles' attention to something deeper, something bigger than just the subjective qualities of a child. And maybe the best way to explain this or to illustrate this is to do the very same thing that Jesus did, to bring some children up in our midst. And so that's what I'm going to do. I've asked Kendall and Judson Bedecek to come up here, and if they're willing still to do this, I want y'all to come up to the front, join me up here. I'll come down a little bit. Y'all just come stand right here. Y'all are really brave to do this. Do you know that? Can you shake my hand? Okay. So what we're going to do, y'all get to be a part of the sermon. Isn't that pretty cool? Not really? It's cool. They hear from me all the time. They get to hear from you guys. All right, well, I'm going to ask y'all a few questions, okay? First of all, I'll ask you an easy question. What's your name?
Judson.
Okay, speak loud.
Judson.
How old are you, Judson?
Six.
Six, okay. What's your name?
Kendall.
How old are you?
Nine,
okay. I'm going to ask y'all a few questions. I want to know if y'all are really contributing to society. Okay? So first of all, Judson, do you have a job?
No.
You don't have a job. What do you do all day? Do you play?
Watch.
Watch. What do you watch?
Pokemon.
All right, Kendall, what about you? Do you have a job?
No.
You don't have a job? What do you do all day?
Play.
You just play? Well, how is that contributing to society? Well, do you have any degrees? You have any degrees? Have you been to college?
No.
You haven't been to college? No degrees? What about you, Kendall? Have you been to college?
No.
You have any degrees? Master degree, maybe?
No.
Doctorate?
No.
Man, what are y'all doing with your lives? Have you written any books?
No.
You read any books? Okay. Have you, y'all earn a lot of money? How much money do you earn? Not much? You earn a lot of money?
Well, we do
something every Sunday, and we get dollars.
Oh. And you give them?
We get two, and...
You get $2? That's it?
Two and spend.
Oh.
And usually one and give.
Oh, very good. So you give some, save some, and then you spend some. Sounds like you like Dave Ramsey, huh? your dad does, I think. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, okay, let me ask you one more question. This is an easy question, okay? What do you like about God? What do you like about God? Who wants to answer that question? What do you like about God? What do you like about Jesus? What's your favorite part? You could say what you said at children's time. What do you like about God?
He forgives our sins.
He forgives our sins. That's right. Do you want to add anything to that? All right. Hey, thank you guys for being a part of the sermon, okay? Let's give them a round of applause. We ought to do that more often, don't you think? Children don't have a lot to offer according to the world's perspective, do they? Don't have jobs. Just play all the time. They don't get big salaries. They don't have big degrees. Haven't been to college. Haven't written any books. Haven't published any papers. They don't produce anything. And from the world's perspective, they would say that's not worth very much. If you want to be worth something, you need to achieve something. You need to do something really big and important. And Jesus says, actually, if you want to be great, you're to be like them. I think he's drawing the apostles to humility. He's saying, you're wanting to be great. But the way to be great is to be like a child. It's funny, the way the kingdom of God is, things work differently. The way up in the kingdom of God is to go down. The way to be big in the kingdom of God is to become small. The way to be great in the kingdom of God is to become like a child. And from a world's perspective, that doesn't make sense. But from Jesus' perspective, it is just right. Notice what he says in the second statement about children. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children don't have a lot when it comes to power. Children don't have a lot when it comes to position. Children don't have a lot when it comes to prestige. And what Jesus is saying is, if you want to become great, you're to become like them. You're to learn the pattern of humility. You're to learn to give up self. You're to learn to become the last in line. You're to learn what it means to let go of your ego and pride. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Someone has said that the closest that we are to the feel of God is when you humble yourself. The closest you are to the feel of God is when you humble yourself. Because that's what children are all about. They're low, they're small, they're insignificant according to the world. But Jesus says actually they're great because they understand humility, and that's what's most important. And so if we're going to be a church that loves like Jesus loves, I think what Matthew 18 teaches us at first is that we need to make a big commitment to humility, to be willing to be the person who lets go of self for the sake of others. And I think the reason why Jesus ties humility in the kingdom of God so closely is because love and pride, they don't mix. They don't mix. Because pride and boasting and arrogance is all about putting self at the center of the stage. Whereas love is about putting others at the center of the stage. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. To be humble enough to where we can put others at the center of the stage, where we can play down ourselves for the sake of others. Someone has noticed that whenever you do an act of humility, that a lot of times you have to change your physical posture. You know, so for example, if you're going to pick up trash, you got to bend down to do it, right? If you're going to clean the toilet, you got to get down on your hands and knees, at least to do it well. If you're going to scoop up after your dog, you've got to stoop down to do that. If you're going to sweep, you got to put your back into it. I mean, if you're going to do some kind of act of service or some act of humility, your body will reflect that. And I think the reason for that is because it's teaching us that this is what it means to love someone. To love someone means I'm going to be willing to do an act of humility and service for them, and my body even reminds me about that. Well, as we continue in this conversation in Matthew 18, Jesus reminds us there's one other act of humility that is reflected in our physical posture. And that's listening to a child. Because if you truly want to listen to a child, you can't just stand up here and listen to them, right? You got to bend down and get at their level to truly listen to them. And Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand that's what they need to be doing more of. Notice what he says in the third statement about children. He says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. That Jesus is teaching us that children, number one, they're a model for greatness in the kingdom of God. Number two, children are a wonderful example of humility that we need to emulate in the kingdom of God. But number three, children are actually the means by which we receive the kingdom of God. That children aren't just, they're not just simply a sign of what the kingdom looks like. They're not just an example of humility. But it's actually in receiving a child, we are receiving Jesus. What Jesus is doing in Matthew 18 is he is connecting children to the kingdom of God to where they are so closely attached that if you're going to be serious about the kingdom of God, if you're going to be serious about following Jesus, then you need to be serious about children. And that's the way Jesus was. Jesus spent a lot of time with children. He healed a 12-year-old girl. He drove a demon out of a young boy. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And where did he get those 5 loaves and 2 fish? From a child. He took babies into his arms, even when the disciples told him to leave them alone. And then in this case, he uses a child as an illustration to teach a lesson about humility in the kingdom of God. It's very clear in the life and ministry of Jesus that he cared about children. And the reason why he cared is because he understood that children and the kingdom of God are intricately connected. Not only do we learn about the kingdom of God through children, but actually when we love a child, we are loving Jesus. And so if you're a disciple of Christ and you say, I really don't like kids, I don't think those two things are consistent. A follower of Christ is going to love children because in loving children, we're loving Christ. And I want Christ in my life, don't you? I want Christ to fill my life. I want to be close to Christ. And Jesus gives us the formula right here. You want to be close to me? Welcome a child. You came here this morning because you want to draw close to Jesus, I bet. And here's how you do it. Love a child. You want more Jesus in your life? You want more fruits of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Here's how you do it. Love a child. Because Jesus says when you love a child, not only are you going to learn about humility, not only are you going to learn about the kingdom of God, but you're actually going to be welcoming Jesus into your life. It's for these reasons that here at Southside, we want to be a church that loves and values children. This is why we have Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible classes and children's worship. We don't do these things just to offer faith-based child care. We do these ministries because we want to welcome Christ into our church. And we do that by welcoming children. This is the reason why we're going to have 3-2-1 Go Camp here in just a couple weeks. We don't just do this camp so that we can give our kids something to do in the summer. We do it because we want to welcome Christ into our church. We do it by welcoming children. This is the reason why we care about foster care and adoption. And Lane Lewis is going to have a meeting about our foster care ministry next Sunday. And we promote this ministry, we care about it, not simply because we just see a need, although there's a tremendous need, but because we believe that when a family welcomes a foster child into their home, when a family adopts a new child into their home, they are actually welcoming Jesus by welcoming children. This is the reason why we have a tutoring ministry that ministers to our neighborhood kids. This is the reason why we mentor it through Academy 4. This is the reason why we have a whole group right now in Africa loving on orphans in the Nima village. This is the reason why we want to find more ways to minister to neighborhood kids, because we want to welcome Christ. And Jesus says, you welcome Christ, welcome me by welcoming children. It seems to me that if we truly understand these three statements that Jesus makes about children, and that if we want to be a church that loves like Jesus loves, that we are going to be severely focused on children. And Becca Weatherford, our children's minister, she should have no problem finding people to teach our children. People should be calling her in the middle of the night and say, put me on the list to teach the children, because I want to be in that classroom that's welcoming Christ by welcoming those kids. Our new future youth minister, Evan Johnson, is here with us this morning. He's going to speak tonight. I mean, people should be coming up to Evan this morning, this evening, and saying, man, put me on the list as one of your volunteers to work in the youth ministry. I want to help out in whatever way I can, because I want to welcome Christ. I want to welcome Christ by welcoming children. Children are a part of what it means to love Jesus. And if, like I said earlier, if you feel like, well, I just don't really like kids, I don't really like being around kids, I just get on my nerves, and certainly children get on our nerves from time to time, but maybe we need to check our spiritual battery. Someone put it this way. They said that how we deal with children is a signal of our fellowship with God. How we deal with children is a signal of our fellowship with God. And so if we want to be close to God, if we want to become the people of humility that God wants us to be, if we want to seek the lowest place, if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus tells his apostles, here, let me give you some homework assignments. Let me give you something to test, you field test, experiment. Go love this child in your midst, in my name, and you'll be welcoming me. And can we do that? And if we can do that as a church, powerful things will happen. If we can love children like Jesus did, powerful things could happen. And I could give a number of stories about illustrating this, but let me just give you one. So I've told the story before here about Joe Cannon. Joe Cannon was a pioneering missionary and church planner back in the 1930s and 40s and 50s. He moved to Japan, spent several years in Japan, planted 14 churches in Japan. He planted 4 orphanages in Japan. He planted a Christian college in Japan. Then he moved to Papua New Guinea and planted the Melanesian Bible College, started other churches in Papua New Guinea. Then he moved back to the United States, started a missionary training program, trained literally hundreds of missionaries, including my own brother-in-law, Craig Phillips. I mean, just had this incredible career of planting churches, training missionaries, loving people all over the world. I've told that story before. What I haven't told you is how Joe Cannon became a Christian. Because Joe Cannon grew up in an unchurched home. And the way that I've heard the story is he got involved in the wrong crowd as a kid. And he and his buddies would go to the nearby church, and they would vandalize the church. Does that sound familiar to anybody? They would vandalize the church. And there was a member of the church who is partially annoyed, but partially cared. And he went to Joe and he said, listen, you either quit vandalizing or you start coming to church here. If you're going to be hanging around here, either go hang around somewhere else, vandalize somewhere else, or start coming to church here. And Joe started coming to church there. And not too long afterwards, he gave his life to Christ. And there are literally thousands of people who are now followers of Jesus because of that one church member who cared about that snotty-nosed kid who was out in the parking lot. We got kids in the midst of us everywhere we look. We got kids among us, our own kids. We got a bunch of them. We've got kids in our neighborhood. We got kids in our city. We got kids in neighborhood schools. We got kids all over us, all around us. And some of those kids, all of those kids, are looking for some Christian adult, Christian parent, Christian grandparent, Christian adult who will just give them a chance, who will just love them in the name of Jesus, who will welcome them. And Jesus says, when you do that, you are welcoming me. And Jesus can use that act of love and humility to bless that child and to change their life. And may the Lord help us to be a church like that, who loves like Jesus and demonstrates actions of humility by loving children. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us when we get too caught up in the world's race to try to be number one. Forgive us when we are trying to elbow our way to the top and jostle for position. Forgive us, Lord, when we are too self-focused and we forget the path that you call us to, a path of humility, the path of a child, the path of being a servant. And Lord, you've taught us how to cultivate that path. You've taught us how to develop humility in our life. You've taught us how to learn what it means to be a servant and that it starts with loving children. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be a church where children feel welcomed in your name. Help us to be a church that wraps our arms around every child, whether they're a part of our church or whether they're not a part of our church. Help us to be a church that, just like Christ, brings children into our midst and celebrates and values them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have our time invitation, and our elders are going to surround this auditorium. And if you need prayer, if you need encouragement, need someone to help you at this time, just walk to one of our elders, let them pray over you. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away, we'd love to welcome you as a child of God. Just come to the front as we sing. Let's stand and let's sing at this time.